This is the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we have conversations with everyday martial artists about their histories and how martial arts influence their daily lives. You are listening to the abbreviated version of this podcast, which is the first 20 minutes or so of the show. Please consider supporting the show by subscribing on our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/MALMAG. And for about the price of one coffee shop coffee per month, you can get access to 4 new podcasts each month, 1 week before their YouTube release dates. You also have access to all of our existing shows, which at this point is about 100 hours of shows for you to enjoy. Individual shows can be purchased at our Gumroad page. That is malmag.gumroad.com. This week I get on Zoom and I connect again to North Carolina and I speak with Rob Kelly. Rob talks to us about the good old days training with Larry Hartzell, Ajahn Chai, Guru Dan Inosanto, and more. Rob's got a very interesting story and an amazing background. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, and today I'm connecting on Zoom to North Carolina. So going back to the East Coast again, talking with some of the good folks out there, and this gentleman is someone I know of through the Inosanto circles, as well as the Hartzell circles, and someone I've known of and known a bit, and came up in a conversation with Clay Johnson, actually, just recently in our podcast with him. So I thought, well, you know what? It's time I should reach out to Mr. Rob Kelly. So Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And it's very true what I just said. You know, Clay Johnson said a lot of good things about you. And I'm like, right, Rob, I should absolutely get him on here.
I'm sure they were all lies.
Well, you know, Clay, he's a big tale teller. Yeah. Well, he loves to tell stories. I mean, that's a good thing. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, Clay's a good guy.
Absolutely. Well, he actually named you, I think, as one of his inspirations and primary sources and such. So he had a lot of very good things to say about you.
Yeah, man, it's been years. But he would come down from Virginia and we would train. He came down once a month, every other month for a couple of years, and did a lot of training. It was good.
Yeah. You know, it's something really interesting. I mean, from my perspective, just kind of coming into these arts when I did and then meeting people. And, you know, I'm always big on kind of listening to people's stories, which is why I do this podcast, to be honest with you. And it seemed like there was such an interesting bond to me with a lot of you East Coast guys in that particular era. It's like it kind of went all the way up and down sort of that Eastern seaboard where you guys really kind of all connected and you all really trained together pretty well, which I think is a great thing.
Yeah. You know, it was, I guess, because Sifu Larry was, from Charlotte. His family lived here and he had come back here in, I guess, the early 70s. It was before I was training. But, you know, he kind of established that here. And then, you know, he went back to LA and Dickie Harrell and Michael Brown, Ruben Griffith, they kept the school going. You know, I didn't meet them until, I guess, 1984. And started training there. I don't know if anyone knows Guru Dickie Harrell. He was the first full instructor under Guru Dan in JKD and Filipino arts on the East Coast. And he was my instructor here.
Yeah, it's great. I had a just great conversation with him on a podcast. He was one of the first ones here in the second season. So back in January. Yeah. And, you know, he's getting ready to open a brand new Muay Thai school at some point there, apparently. Great.
Cool. Yeah.
I told him, I said, well, we'll try to help him out as far as, you know, letting people know and all that. When he gets to that point, I think he was just kind of looking for a spot. But, you know, really fun conversation with him, actually. And I've honestly, I've never been to that neck of the woods. I've been, you know, through New York City many times, traveling in and out of the country because major airport, and
Right.
got a weird, like, 2 a.m. tour of the city when I had to transfer from one New York airport to another in a cab. And they, you know, the guy's going, it's like, he's like, here's this thing and here's that thing. And I'm like, it just looks like dark shadows to me. I'm like, well, this is the weirdest tour I've ever had, you know, of any city. I lived in Florida for several years, you know, going to college and such there, but that's like it. I haven't really been to the things in between at all. And I can't even really honestly count New York that much. I ran up to Syracuse for a day to interview an old college professor of mine, actually, for a documentary project. And that's like it as far as my East Coast. So I'm really poor in East Coast experience, to say the least. So it seems like, you know, with several of you guys there in North Carolina, that just, and the thing was, my father was actually stationed there in the Marine Corps for many years before I was born. But, you know, so it feels like there's something that draws me to come and see it, at least for my own history.
It's nice. You know, it's where we live here, we get, you know, a little bit of a winter. You know, we do get the four seasons. So, you know, it's nice. You get to see the leaves change and, you know, the winters are not bad. Of course, you know, no one here is used to having, you know, bad weather. So, you know, driving sucks, but, you know. Yeah, it's like that anywhere, I guess. You know, it's like people from up north, and you know, and they get feet of snow, and we get inches.
Right.
You know, and it closes the city down because we got, you know, 2 inches of snow. You know, people up north are like, you know, 5 feet, and we're still going. You know, and
Yeah.
yeah, it's all relative,
Well, sure. Yeah, it depends on what you're used to and what you're geared for. My
right?
father retired and moved to Kentucky for a while outside of Louisville. And, you know, even there, the winters are fairly mild. And when they got one, I remember I was still fairly little at the time, but they had a pretty good winter come in there and drop a lot of snow. And it did. It shut everything down, like you're saying, because they have, at that time, they had like two snowplows in the whole state. So, of
Yeah.
course, you know, two snowplows aren't going to clear every highway that fast.
Right.
And what changed that was the fact that UPS had just put their headquarters in there. And they said, you're screwing us up. We need to have these roads clear. So either you figure this out or we're relocating. And they did not want that hit to their economy. So they immediately got a lot of snowplows, right? And now, even in the event of those few in far between type blizzards that you might get in Kentucky, they are going to get those roads cleared up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Money talks, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the way it is.
Indeed. Well, Rob, why don't you tell us how you got involved in martial arts?
Well, as a little kid, I was always interested in it. You know, the same as I guess most everyone else, you know. When I was you know, maybe 9 or 10 years old, I saw Longstreet. And was able to see Bruce Lee in that, and was, you know, completely amazed by it. I remember, I don't really remember the Green Hornet series so much, except for later on. You know, my mom t told me that, you know, it was my favorite show when I was a little kid. And it was like, you know, I don't really remember it until I was probably 10 or 12 when you could watch reruns and, you know. But watching that, and you know, then the Kung Fu series, and had never even seen a Bruce Lee movie, because I was too young to go see them, and was interested in that way. A friend of my sister's taught a karate class, and some, you know, you got to remember back in those days, everything was point karate.
Right.
You know, so you had these Americanized versions of karate. And so I trained with her just a short time. And her and her husband moved away. So then I was just doing anything I could on my own. You know, we couldn't afford to really go to karate classes or anything. And, you know, I would get magazines and books and train myself, you know, which is, you know, not the best, but, you know, it's all I had.
Right.
And then after, in high school, a friend of mine was into Taekwondo and I would go to his house and he would teach me some kicks. And then after high school, I started working and could pay for myself and started in Kempo. The Kempo here was a combination of, I guess, Japanese karate and jujitsu. And also had some Hapkido in it. And so I trained in that. was a black belt in Kempo and Japanese jujitsu. Was training for my second degree black belt, and we went to a seminar in it was either Charleston or Hilton Head. It was for a Kempo, and they had some guys demonstrating Kali. It was Rick McElroy, one of Guru Dan's students. And, you know, I had read about Kali and I was like, man, I really like this. I was totally blown away. It's like, I need to train in this. So I asked him about private lessons and he said, well, where are you from? I said, Charlotte, you know, cause he's trying to figure out how far the drive it was. And he goes, Dickie Harrell's right there. You should go train with him. I'm like, okay. Had no idea that anyone was even teaching here. I knew that, you know, from reading, the books that Sifu Larry had been in Charlotte, but had moved back. And so I had no idea that there was anyone here. And, you know, also around that time, you know, all the illegitimate people popping up teaching, you know, I'm trained with Bruce Lee. And it's like, you know, do the math. It's like, you're not old enough to have ever trained with Bruce Lee. You know, I was like, please. And I mean, even back then, it's like, come on, there's no way. And you know, you read the books and the magazines and it's like, there's only three people that were certified to teach, you know, and, you know, read that, you know, Sifu Larry was allowed to teach the kickboxing phase. And so it was like, there's not that many people that can do this.
Right.
So, you know, when you have like all these schools popping up everywhere and it's like, okay. So I had, you know, been a little wary of anything like that, but when he said, you know, you should go train with him. So I went over and met him and talked to him and he was like, yeah, you can come in. I was teaching a kid's class and I can't remember if I was teaching on Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday, but whatever it was, that was the same nights as the beginner class that he was teaching. So he actually allowed me to go into the advanced class and said, you just got to keep up. And, you know, like, okay. And I'm telling you, after the first class, it was like, this is what I thought martial arts is supposed to be.
Oh, wow.
And because from everything I'd ever read, and, you know, I really love the concept of JKD, the whole idea of it. And, you know, even though I had, you know, here I was, you know, a black belt and Kempo and, you know, knew how to do joint locks and throws. We didn't do any grappling. It, you know, that was way before you know, we actually did anything like that. And I'd done some kickboxing. So, you know, I thought I was okay. And then, you know, I'm in this class and I was like, oh my God. And seriously, the second week there, I decided to stop teaching. Because I was wanting to teach what I had just learned because I saw the value in it and how good this was. And I wanted my students to have this. But then at the same time, I realized I don't know this. I don't truly understand it. I don't, you know, I'm not really ready to actually teach it. So I'm actually doing a disservice to them. And it's like, you know, I'm going to just quit teaching and I'm going to train. And you know, just dove head first into it, and you know, been doing that ever since. He closed that school. I don't know, less than a year into my training, and he invited me to train with him privately. And so for about a year, it was just private lessons, training weekly. And then he opened up another school. And so I helped him with that. And we started going to a lot of seminars. You know, Guru Dan was here in Charlotte. And then he would be in Atlanta like twice a year. The Great Smoky Mountain Martial Arts Camps.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of those. That went on, which was truly amazing, so eye-opening. You know, I don't know if you knew anything about those camps, but, you know, it was Guru Dan, Super Larry, Ajahn Chah was there. That's where we first met him. Sifu Tim Tackett was there. Graciela Garcias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was like, you know, the very first year was so amazing because I had seen, you know, masters in martial arts before, and I had actually seen them train in their own art. I had never seen a master train in different arts where they weren't, you know, at that master level.
Right.
You know, never saw a master train and sweat and have a, you know, a difficult time. You know, I mean, I knew that Guru Dan had been training in Thai boxing before, and he had been, you know, training with Ajahn Chah. But to actually see him out there in front of all the other students, actually training, you know, and the same thing with you know, Sifu Larry. And, you know, everybody just, it was amazing to me that they allowed students to see them be a student. And that just really impressed me a lot. And, you know, the whole humility of it is like, why isn't everybody like this? You know, I mean, I don't know. It just truly impressed me and changed my whole outlook. You know, it was like being the student, you know, being open to learning and experiencing, you know, different arts. You know, it's like, this is the way to go. This is what I got to do. So, you know, I went to, I think there were 7 years we went to that. You know, met a lot of great people. You know, I know, you know, Greg Nelson. I trained with him every year at the camp. Ajahn Chah took a liking to us, which was, you know, a great thing. And it was also a little bit of a painful thing, you know. And the camps were incredible because we were training. We'd get up in the morning and, you know, have breakfast, and then we would start training. And we would have probably 5 classes a day, you know, for an hour or more each class. And then at night that there would be a, you know, a specialty class. And from, I don't know, the second or third year, Ajahn Chah started doing a more of a second Muay Thai class where would feed people. And this was where we were first introduced to being kicked by the pad holder. You know, I mean, I had, you know, dealt with him, you know, punch me in the face with the pads, but, you know, had never had anyone kick me. And we learned real quick, this is a little different. So it was a great time, you know. He would beat us up and tell us, go down to the river and, you know, walk in the river. You know, it was hot summer, and, you know, the river was ice cold. And so you would get in and cool off your legs, which helped a lot, you know, reduce a lot of the swelling.
Mm-hmm.
But we would, you know, do this. It was so fantastic. You know, it was a great time. you know, and then, you know, doing seminars, going up and down, you know, going like to Virginia Beach, and went to Florida once, went to Atlanta a lot, went up to Chicago a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming out to LA, went to the Savant camp, and, you know, training at the academy. You know, there was one of the years I went out there and had planned on staying with Sifu Larry. And this was after he had gotten married. And so, you know, plans kind of fell through. So I was out there, wasn't going to be able to stay as long as I had planned. And, you know, told Simo, and she's like, well, you know, stay your first week with John Maidmont. So we stayed in a hotel together for the week. And then after that, he was flying back to Canada. And I asked her, I was like, you know, I know some people in the past have been able to, you know, stay at the school. Could I, you know, just stay at the school so I could stay longer? And she's like, no, we're not allowing people to sleep in the school anymore. But so why don't you just come to the house?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah. So I ended up spending about 5 weeks at the house, and that was incredible because I was getting, you know, private lessons every day.
Right.
Now we're doing Cabri Cabrong in the backyard. Yori Nakamura came over, you know, Sensei Yori, and doing the shuto, you know, in his living room. You know, Super Lira was coming by, and I was like, here, and, you know, and he worked with me, you know, doing the dummy set in his garage, because I'd never done any of the dummy set. So here he is showing me the entire dummy set in one afternoon, which is, you know, my mind was fried because it's right. You know, the entire set.
Right.
And then he starts talking about how he's got, you know, seven different Wing Chun instructors, and one of them does it this way, one of them does it this way. He's showing me variations.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, stop. I can't. Yeah. You know, so thankfully I had that on videotape. And so, you know, he's going through it. And, you know, we're about done. And, you know, Yori and Hiro coming by to see him. And he's like, Yori, show him the JKD sets too. So this is in one afternoon, you know, the entire Wing Chun, you know, dummy set with variations, and 1 through 5 of the JKD.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the podcast. Please consider supporting the program by going to www.patreon.com/MALMAG and subscribing to the show. You can also purchase this individual episode or any individual episode at our Gumroad page. That's MALMAG.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with Rob Kelly. Coming up next week, we talk with Southern California Filipino martial arts instructor and Bunal brand founder, Steve Del Castillo. Our MalMag online store at martialartslifestylemagazine.com has a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Cabri Cabrong. Timmy B's brand now selling in Japan as well. Beautiful Timmy B's brand shirts and Dos Manos shirts are available with new t-shirt designs and more products coming soon. An online course in the Dos Manos method for FMA is available under the courses tab. More courses coming soon. Check out the Places to Train tab to find schools near you, and click on the events calendar page to see what seminars and events are happening all around the world. And of course, visit our main page for articles on the martial arts. Music by Jack Al Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.